Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help me call him Jesus. Power in that name. I love that name. Oh, Jesus. 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 Help me call him Jesus. Have you ever called him? Won't he come and see about you? Yeah, Lord. Look over your life and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. One more time, Jesus. Come on, let's give God some praise. I hope that name never gets old and ordinary to you. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's a word for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. As we adjust, I'll remind us preachers, deacons, that next Sunday is the first Sunday, and so we will be in our traditional garb as we serve the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6 says, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. It's time to preach again from that title, Jesus is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. I wonder, is there anybody in the room today that have some experience with fake stuff? Anybody got your own personal story of how everything that glitters is not gold? John the Baptist, that is, not to be confused with John the writer of the Gospel or John the writer of Revelation or John the writer of 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. John the Baptist is in prison because of his ministry. But in prison, he has received word there's a man in town that's doing stuff that looked like what we expect the Messiah to do. John sends his disciples to inquire about Jesus being a fake Messiah or the real Messiah. Jesus sends word back, go back and tell John what you have seen me do. And hopefully John can answer his own question. That's a preaching point all by itself, that we are not who we say we are what we actually do. Our behavior speaks so much louder than our words. I've come to suggest to us that we should live like Jesus is the real thing. That's our thesis. What is he talking about today? He's talking about how we should live like Jesus is the real thing. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is that there are fakes. Somebody say fakes. Yeah, John wanted to make sure Jesus was not a fake Messiah. Perhaps John was aware of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, that talks about being aware of false prophets. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. You would be amazed to know how much of what you think is gold, gold rings, gold bracelets, gold necklace, gold anklets, earrings, gold. You'd be surprised how much of it is actually golden. Mm-hmm. If you put some water on some of this stuff you think is gold, you may discover it's not golden. That it's not gold, it's just golden. It has a way of turning green. Amen. Because it is fake gold. There are people who walk around with what appears to be mink and other type of expensive furs, but there's a whole market out there that sells fake fur. Mm-hmm. As quiet as y'all are, y'all making me think I'm in your neighborhood. Some know about fake get-rich-quick schemes. Give me your $299, go talk to a few people, and you'll be a millionaire in 30 days, surely 90 days, and even a slow person can get it done in 1 year. Your $299 is gone, as well as your confidence that this is going to work. It was a fake scheme. There are those who know about fake weight loss schemes. Pills have been purchased, and clothing outfits, and all kinds of equipment are now coat hangers in our basements and extra rooms, because we thought that if we just bought this equipment, if we just bought these pills, if we just bought this whatever, then somehow it's going to take this tire around our waist away. I wish I could see how y'all looking at me. If buying the bike would make the weight go away, all of us be skinny, wouldn't we? But you can't buy the equipment and then don't exercise on the equipment and say the equipment don't work. It was fake in its promise that just buying it would make you lose weight. Perhaps more seriously, there's somebody in the room who knows about fake relationships. The guy who you thought was tall, dark, and handsome and had a few dollars, you thought this was the one, Mr. Right, may have proven to be Mr. Fake. Somebody say amen. Or it may have been that chocolate, curvy sister. So much grace and finesse. Smell good, talk good, walk good. You just knew this was Mrs. Wifey. Just for time to show. It was actually Miss Fake. And depending upon how much you have invested into the relationship, it becomes less and less funny when you've wasted time in fake relationships. I may be talking to somebody who believes you have wasted the best years of your life in fake relationships. Let's move along before you start crying on me. Politicians, everybody know a fake politician. The pre-election person is oftentimes so much different than the post-election person. Before the election, there are people who will promise you the world, I give you this, I give you that, just vote for me, I'm your man, I'm your woman. Then after the election is over, your phone calls are not returned, and they lost your number, they lost your email, they can't get in touch with you. Fake politicians. And then there may be those who have experienced the fake promises of this world. This world promises that if you would just get enough stuff and have enough people in your circle of influence, then you will be happy, you will be satisfied, you will be self-actualized. For some, it was, if I could just get that house. For others, if I could just get that car. For others, if I could just wear the right clothes. For others, if I could just become a supervisor on my job. If I can get that corner office with the beautiful view. And, you know, we just got this list of things. If we get it, then I'm going to be happy. And here you are now, years after having it, and you're still not satisfied. It's always something else you have to get. Always somebody else whose name you need in your phone, and you need your name in their phone. It's an optical illusion. It may indeed just be a fake promise of satisfaction. There's something about trouble that makes us have to hurry up and sift through the fake stuff. John the Baptist does not waste time with diplomatic measures and trying to be politically correct. He cuts through the chase because, after all, he is in prison. How many of y'all know troubled times make you speed up trying to sift through fake stuff? It's one thing to need the Lord, but you need him at a higher level when sickness is taking over your body. It's one thing to need the Lord, but you need him at a higher level when friends who you thought would be with you through thick and through thin have already left you. People you thought you was going to get old and die with have already died on you. These troubles make more urgent our sifting through fake stuff. The unpredictable violence of our day make it urgent for us to answer the question, is Jesus the real thing? If it were not for the Lord, I would probably be afraid to walk outside. It just seemed like some of anything might happen anywhere. I cannot tell you my thoughts and mental state as I look on the news and see glimpses of stuff that my wife and I were just at a couple of years ago in Israel. The Tel Aviv airport is where our plane landed, and you hear about and you see all of this stuff that you were an eyewitness of just a few years ago, and now they are shelling and dropping bombs and killing folk openly. A whole plane has been shot down out of the sky. Then other planes have fallen out of the sky, we assume, because of weather conditions. And then we are killing people. For those of us who are not in it, it looked like cousins fighting one another. But to those who are in it, they are willing to fight until their last breath. With this type of violence, It makes it urgent to find out, is Jesus fake or is Jesus real? Because if he's fake, I don't have time and energy for fake stuff. If he's real, I need him to be real right now. I got marvelous news for those who are raising the question about Jesus being real or fake. I can tell you as an eyewitness that Jesus is the real thing. I'm finished. I'm finished talking about fake stuff. I'm talking about Jesus is the real thing. And as in the text, the evidence of Jesus being real is not just in what he says, but in what he does. Jesus did not write a note back to John the Baptist. Jesus sent back witnesses of what he has actually done. The blind can see. The lame can walk. Those who had leprosy are cured. Dead folk have gotten up and lived again. Jesus's genuineness is supported by what he has done. And I'm telling you, he was not finished with the evidence back here in Matthew chapter 11, but he is still moving by his power. Jesus is the real thing because of what he's doing right here and right now. You do know that before Jesus died and went up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And you do know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. In fact, he's working in and through every believer. The Holy Spirit is working in and through every believer. I need a few minutes to talk about what he's doing in us. In us, he gives us purpose. Somebody say purpose. Reason for being. Gives us a reason to wake up in the morning, no matter how hard the night was. He gives our life purpose. He gives reason to our rhyme. He makes pain worth enduring. You know, there are some people that have no purpose for living. That's why it's so easy for them to kill themselves. That's why it's so easy for them to kill somebody else, because there's really no grand scheme of things as they see it. They see themselves as simply a coincidence, and they live a little while and then they die, and that's the end of the story. But for those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have purpose for living. The preacher says it like this in the book of Ecclesiastes: the whole duty of a person is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And Jesus, knowing how limited our memory is, says to us, these are the two chief commandments. Love God with all you have, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is our purpose. We have been created to honor God by obeying his will. I'm thankful I have purpose. But I don't just have purpose. The Holy Spirit in me gives me purpose. But he also, and I don't know which one I'm more excited about, he also gives me power. I wish I could get somebody to say power. You see, it's one thing to get in your car on 75 South, talking about you going to Atlanta, Georgia. It's another thing to put some gas in your car so you can get down 75 to Atlanta, Georgia. To have purpose but no power is to know where you want to go but don't have the wherewithal to get you there. But with the Holy Ghost, I don't only have purpose, but I got power to keep on pressing. I can make it. I said I can make it. I might get knocked down, but I can get back up. I might not go as fast as I want to go, but I can keep moving in the right direction. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm not in this thing by myself. If it was just me, I would have tapped out. I would have thrown in the towel. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have enough power to fight all of these demons. But with Christ, I got the power to keep on standing up. He gives me power. That might appear to be arrogant. Those who don't understand the source of power call it arrogance. It's actually confidence in his power. I just believe he hasn't brought me this far just to leave me now. So if I walk around with my head up, if I walk around with my chest poked out, it's not because I think I'm all of that. It's because I got somebody who's empowering me to face the darkness. I've been in worse than this. So there ain't nothing here that can possibly scare me. The God who's brought me is strong enough to keep me. He made some promises to me, and we're not finished with the promises. I'm talking about what he does in me. He gives me purpose, and I'm excited about that. He gives me power, and I'm excited about that. But he also gives me peace. I wish I could get somebody to say peace. Now, I must admit, many times I want answers. But what the Holy Ghost gives me is peace. If it was up to me, I would get answers. But it's not up to me. And so when the Holy Spirit doesn't give me the answers I'm looking for, look what he does. If I will accept it, he gives me peace. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Because I have some unanswered questions, but I have peace that rocks me to sleep at night. One of the flaws, in my opinion, of formal education is it make you think you can answer everything if you just research it enough. Formal education make you think you can write a paper about everything. You can defend your proposition, and it just gives you this arrogant sense that within the human capacity is the ability to explain whatever happens. I've lived long enough to know how crazy that is. It's a whole lot of stuff that don't make any sense. I cannot answer the question why God would allow a plane full of passengers to fall out the sky talking about the weather was bad. Now, it's ugly, and I don't like to see that they shot one of the planes down. That's ugly. But at least I understand that. You shot a missile into the plane. That caused the plane to malfunction. The plane fell from 30,000 feet to the ground. Everybody dead after a 30,000 foot drop. I got that. What I don't have is how in the world did two planes run into such bad weather within about a week of one another, and hundreds of people are dead. They're not dying, they didn't get hurt, they live no more. I have no explanation for that. If we were to say, well, maybe they were sinners, that don't make no sense. Because if sinners are falling out of the sky, it wouldn't be no planes up in the sky. And those sinners will fall out the sky down on us sinners that's walking around on the ground. That makes no sense. I don't know why children were allowed to be killed in the plane crashes. I don't know why people receive word, mom and daddy not coming home, your spouse is not coming home, grandchildren are not coming home. I have no explanation. I trust that God is too wise to make a mistake. I trust that God was not asleep at the helm. Some time ago, a guy was driving a train, and they talking about he fell asleep. Train was going too fast, missed a turn, overturned, and people got hurt. I don't think God was asleep at the switch. If you push me, I bring out my theological term called mystery. If you jam me in a corner and make me answer, I'll say God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to behold. But that really doesn't answer it for me. Well, Reverend, if that question is not answered, how can you still have so much joy? How can you keep on going? It's what I call peace. It's not always an answer. Sometimes it's peace, and this is what blows my mind. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Perhaps something less deep, more personal, is bills need to be paid, but I'm going to sleep because I got peace. I don't know what my children gonna do. I know I done taught them better than they're doing. I don't know what they're gonna do with all of the home training. I've sacrificed and invested in them, but I can tell you this, I ain't gonna worry about it. I got some peace. That I don't know what's going to happen with the medical report. The doctor said he saw something he didn't like on my x-ray, but I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I have peace. I see the drug boys on the corner of the block, but I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I have peace. And where did I get it from? Did I get it from the crack pipe? Did I get it from Jack Daniels? Did I get it from the heroin needle? Where did I get this peace from? No. It's a peace of God. And it surpasses all understanding. And if you have not experienced it, you really can't understand what I'm saying. But then, the Holy Spirit does give us purpose, power, and peace. But then he also gives us some joy. Can somebody say joy? I'm still talking about what the Holy Ghost does inside a believer. He gives us joy. He puts a smile on our face when we can look back over our life and see that in times like these, we used to be full of anger. We used to be full of despair, but now we have joy. We just trust that somehow, some way, God is going to work this thing out. Sometimes it is an anticipatory smile. I'm smiling in anticipation of what God is going to do. I'm not smiling about all of this pain and all of this discord around me, but I'm smiling because I have grown to trust that God has not brought me this far just to leave me now. All of this from the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus, the real thing. And then that was what he does in us, but through us, he does a marvelous work. The Urban League, perhaps one of the greatest organizations that blacks can take significant credit for, though not exclusive credit for, just had their annual conference here. And if this is not an example of God working through us, I don't know what would qualify. The Urban League has done a matchless job of helping tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people get a job, and not just pieces of job, but gainful employment. To help the least of these walk around with heels on and suits and ties on. If those of you who went to the exhibit hall and saw the conference, you may wonder, what's this all about? This look bougie. Why are they acting so snotty? You would have to understand the story behind why you don't walk through the Urban League with just sneakers and shorts on. They're trying to help people who everybody have said, you're not going to be anything. They're trying to help them understand you are already somebody. That's why They have not only clothing giveaway, but they teach people how to clean your clothes, press your clothes. You might not have the best, but whatever you have ought to be clean. If it's clean, you ought to at least learn how to put a crease in it. Have some pride about yourself. When you see these people walking around the Urban League, you would have to understand the story behind the story. You think the suit is not much because you've always had a suit. But you ought to go talk to Brother Man and ask him what was he wearing this time last year. Some of these folk were sleeping up under a bridge this time last year. And so if they look a little proud in their little heels, if they look like they're a little happy with what they got on, they are happy about just being on the journey to higher ground. And how did they get there? God, through us, through organizations like Urban League. And that list could be expanded. But then, what is God doing now? What does Jesus do for me? Now he gives me hope. Can somebody say hope? Yeah, that no matter what we see as believers, we have hope. Now we got some hope down here on planet Earth. We believe the God who parted the Red Sea is the God we pray to today. The God who parted the Jordan River is the same God we're praying to today. The God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God we're praying to today. Thus, whenever things look bad in our life, we don't throw in the towel. We believe God is able to open up some stuff. If you got some hateful people on your job that's trying to block your progress, don't you throw in the towel. God can open up some stuff. If you got some people in your family, people in your church that's trying to block your progress, don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up on God. God is able to open up some stuff. But all of our hope is not on earth. We also got some hope in heaven. Yes, even in 2014, we believe that there is life on the other side of death. There are some people who are so intelligent, they are so postmodern, they are so actually arrogant. They assume that because they cannot explain heaven, then heaven must not exist. Up under this is the idea that all of the knowledge of the world can fit into your little small head. Let me help you understand this. God will never fit into your small head, my small head, our small heads put together, will never comprehend God. It's arrogant to assume that because we can't explain heaven, then it must be mythological. It must not be nothing to it. The fact that nobody has went there and came back mean it must not be anything, just a bunch of old wives' fables. I'm here to tell you that there is life after death. And the reason I'm so excited about life after death is because it gives me hope. I cannot imagine what it would feel like to die in this world and to understand that my pain has had no purpose. We cried for nothing. We sweated for nothing. We bled for nothing. We sacrificed. We went through hard times for nothing. This is the story of those who die, and that's the end. But for those who die in Christ, we understand that whatever tears we have shed, whatever burdens we have borne, whatever problems we have gone through, they were just seeds that will produce the harvest, even if on the other side of the grave. When I was younger, I was so excited about the three gates in the east and the three gates in the west. I wanted to see the streets paved with gold. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob used to be closer to the top of my list. But the more birthdays I have, the more I just want to be with the Lord. Whatever the streets look like, I just want to be with the Lord. Whatever is on the pearly gates, I just want to be with the Lord. I don't have to be anxious and afraid of death because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't have to weep as those who have no hope when saved loved ones die, for I know they have simply beat me to be with the Lord, but we shall meet again. I have hope. It goes beyond this grave. But finally, I think I ought to raise the preaching question, and that is, will you accept the real thing? It's one thing for Jesus to be the real thing, but it's something altogether different to raise the issue, do you accept him? There's a question mark behind John's name. John sent his disciples to find out. We see the message that Jesus sent back to John, but what was John's response to the messengers? The answer is, we really don't know. It's not written in the text. I would hope that you are more clear, less ambiguous, that everybody ought to be able to see that you've accepted Jesus as the real thing. I need to just put it in your lap. You better make sure, and very sure, that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior by faith. You will not think that you will ever live well enough to be right with God. You know, some of us would make good Catholics because we subscribe to this notion of cardinal sins, that there are these real big felony type sins. And so we got smoking and we got drinking and we got chasing, and we think if we can master the felony type sins, then we'll be all right with God. I'm here to tell you there are some worse things to do besides smoking, drinking, and chasing. And even if you ever get all of the capital sins under control, there are so many misdemeanor sins that we are guilty of. We will never be right with God if all we have going for us is us. But I thank God you and I have more going for us than us. His name is Jesus. You will recall that the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is not join church. It's not get baptized. It's not the length of your skirt. It's not do you wear a tie to church or not. That's not the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And I'm so thankful Jesus hung, bled, and died, paid for your sin and mine. You better make sure you're saved. But then finally, you ought to accept him not only as Savior, but you ought to accept him as Lord. What do you mean by Lord? I mean as boss, as commander in chief, as captain of your ship, as the one who is in charge of your life. And if Jesus is really Lord of your life, at some point, you're going to have to deal with this church stuff. You see, Jesus died for the church. The church is so dear to my Lord that he considers the church his bride. The church is so dear to Jesus that Jesus considers the church to be his body. Jesus considers the church to be so dear, to be so important, that he refers to us as his sheep, and he is our shepherd. Now I am the first to confess that every church you and I walk up into has its problems. Did you hear me? I'm the first to confess that yes, I have my own issues. And I can be a witness that y'all got y'all's too. Why y'all looking at me like that? But thanks be unto God, you did not come here to worship me. And I did not come here to worship you. But we came in here to worship my Lord. I wish I had a witness here. And even though I ought to be better. And even though you ought to be better. In spite of all of our shortcomings, God is still in the house. Did you hear what I said? And can I tell you two things that God is doing right now? Right here, right now, the Lord is passing out delivering power. And I don't have to spend a lot of time talking about delivering power. We already know how to shout when God delivers us. When we go back to the doctor and find out we're cancer free. Don't nobody have to tell us to give God some praise. When we go back and bills are paid, don't nobody have to tell us to give God some praise. That's delivering power. Y'all know how to shout on that already. God is not just passing out delivering power. There's another type of power that we got to learn how to shout about. I call it keeping power. Did you hear what I said? It's not the power to deliver us, but it's power to keep us in the midst of the storm. I wish that I could preach such a sermon that all of your problems would just up and run away. But listen, let me tell you, if the rain keeps falling in your life, if the storms keep on raging, don't give up, don't throw in the towel, just trust that God will keep you through stormy weather. Is God keeping anybody right here, right now? Anybody here going through something? I know you're smiling and you got your amen synchronized with the worship. But up under all your churchmanship, anybody here holding back tears? Anybody here got trouble raging in your life? But through it all, the Lord is keeping you. You don't know how ends are going to meet, but through it all, he's keeping you. Through it all, I still got peace. I still got joy. After all I've been through, I still have a praise inside of me. Yes, I've been through the fire. Yes, I've been through the flood. But after all I've been through, I still got a praise. I still got a praise. I still got a praise inside of me. I think I ought to tell you, it's easy to talk the talk, but the Lord is calling us to walk the walk. The greatest measure of your faith is not what you say, but what you do. It's time It's time. It's time to stop playing with God. If you know you need to get right with God, today is the day. This place is the place. Thanks be unto God. He's standing at your door knocking. If you would hear his voice, if you open the door, he will come in and sup with you and allow you to sup with him. Anybody here? Anybody here? Glad, glad, glad. Things are well between God and yourself. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that you are on speaking terms with the Lord? Isn't it good to know that his grace, it is sufficient? Isn't it good to know that if I die tonight, I wake up in the morning saying glory, hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that men cannot take the joy that God has given. We used to sing a song, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I gotta close, I gotta close, I gotta close here, but I'm so glad. He's real, he's real, ah, he's real, ah, he's real, ah, he's real, he's real, he's real. He's not a figment of my imagination. He's not something I made up to deal with my anxieties in life. He's real. And you live beneath your privilege to sit in church 2 hours, hear about him, but don't have him in your own life. It's getting late in the evening. The sun is going down. You don't know when this will be the last time. For all you know, this is the last sermon you will ever hear. If you know you need the Lord in your life, you need to stop playing. Come get your business fixed today. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day to come and say, yes, Lord. I am telling you that Jesus is the real thing. Whatever's wrong in your life, you can come. No matter how jacked up you think you are, you can come. If you know it's time to get in church, step out in the aisle and come on. If you know it's time to come home, come on right now.